Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
Have you ever had someone say a lie about you? Have you ever had someone defraud your character or testimony in some way? Well, you know that's not a fun feeling at all. And the Bible's very clear that we are not to bear false witness about a friend or neighbor. Today we're going to learn how to keep truth alive in our society, and I hope that all of us will be challenged to walk in truthfulness in the days ahead. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that has always struck my heart very deeply, and I want you to notice it in your notes this morning. Proverbs 6:16. Look at what it says. These six things doth the Lord, and what does the next word say?
Hate.
These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In our text this morning in verse 16, we read where the ninth commandment of God instructed the children of Israel and instructs us today, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that God hates what is referred to here as a lying tongue, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Now we may wonder why the strong language. Why is God so determined in His mentioning of His hatred of the lying tongue and the sowing of discord? And I believe that one of the reasons God hates these sins is because of the fact that God is truth. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, which God that cannot lie hath promised before the world began. God is truth. In Him, we know all things. And through Him, we understand the truth of this life and of the life to come. And so, while the ninth commandment speaks against perjury, it moves way beyond the courtroom. And it comes into the everyday life of a Christian at home, at work, at church, wherever we might be. God is a God of truth. And He calls His children to be people of truth. Now I want you to notice as we study this subject this morning, keeping the truth, I want you to notice in the first place the plot against the truth. I want you to know that since God is truth, that there has been from the beginning of time a plot against the truth of God. One author said this, Colin Smith wrote, "Loss of confidence in the existence of truth is the single most destructive force in our postmodern society." Loss of confidence in the existence of truth. You see, the devil is an expert at attacking the truth. And in this postmodern day in which we live, this day where there are very few absolutes and where people are questioning the truth as never before, we see that pattern affecting our families and destroying the fiber of our nation. People are no longer taking God at His word, and the loss of confidence in truth is a destructive force in our lives today. Well, that battle has been raging for thousands of years. And I want you to notice in your notes this morning that Satan questions the truth. Satan is the great questioner of the truth of God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we learn about the first family. God created Adam and God created Eve, and He created them in His own image. He performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. He brought Eve to Adam, and Adam looked at Eve and he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." And Adam and Eve were doing great. They were happily married. They were doing real well. One day, the Bible says that a subtle serpent came to Eve. That serpent was none other than Satan himself. By the way, Satan is always very subtle. He's not going to come to you and say, "Hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to destroy your marriage, make your children hate you, make you file bankruptcy, and get you out of church." Satan's not going to say that to you. He's going to be very subtle in his approach. He might even send someone spiritual along to try to persuade you against the will of God. But I want you to notice this morning what happened in Genesis 3. It says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He begins to question what God had said. Now, those of you who've ever read the book of Genesis, you know the story. There was one tree that God said, "You're not going to take of this tree." It was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And He said to Adam and Eve, "You can have all the other trees, but of this tree, you're not going to eat." It was God's one commandment for them. Well, the Bible says that Satan began to question that one commandment. And in fact, in Genesis 3:4, he says to Adam, and he says to Eve rather, "If you partake of this fruit, you shall not surely die." He says there's no consequence. You can disobey God, Eve, and nothing is going to happen. Well, the first lie was told, and the first lie was believed, and the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned when they transgressed against the Word of God, and that sin passed upon all men. Adam and Eve were the federal heads of this human race, and when they sinned, their sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why when Jesus describes Satan in John chapter 8 and verse 44, at the end of that verse, you'll notice that He says of Satan, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, folks, this is very elementary, but mark it down by way of introduction this morning. Satan is a liar. Let's say that together. Satan is a liar. Whatever truth God gives, then Satan's going to come along and twist it. He's going to come along and deny it. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan questions the truth. He has been plotting against the truth. God gives His truth. Satan will invent other religions, philosophies, anything and everything to draw men away from God's revealed truth. Well, not only is Satan questioning the truth, but let me say this. Unbelieving cultures are changing the truth. And we're living in a day when when once Christian nations are now changing and twisting the truth. And it's not just in America. It's happened elsewhere in the world's history. Isaiah spoke to the children of Israel in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, and he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now think of that phrase. People who call evil good and good evil. And we see that happening in America. We see people describing all forms of perversion as just natural and good, and hey, it doesn't hurt anybody else. And we hear people calling sin an alternative lifestyle. We hear people referring to drunkenness as the disease of alcoholism. And we hear people talking about thievery as economic determinism. And we have people today redefining what is right and what is wrong. And we're living in a day when many are changing the truth about what is right and what is wrong. Now, God gave a real description of that in the former Gentile, ancient Gentile world. And in Romans chapter 1, he spoke about it. And in verse 25, notice what he says in your notes. He says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another." God says, you know what? He said they took the truth and they turned it into a lie. And instead of worshiping the Creator, they worshiped the creature. My friend, are you aware of the fact that there are many spiritual houses, many religious houses today that get more excited about Earth Day than they do about Resurrection Day? Many Christians today who wouldn't think one time about standing up for the right of an unborn child, but they would gladly demonstrate to save a whale. I'm telling you that right and wrong is all messed up today. Right and wrong is rapidly diminishing in the hearts and minds of many Americans today. Why? Because Satan fights the truth, and he has been plotting against the truth since the beginning of time. Jesus says, "I am the way." Satan says, "Oh, there's lots of ways." You see, there is a plot against the truth of God from Satan himself. Well, I want you to see this secondly this morning, the pattern of truth rejectors. We're going to come back to Satan fighting against God's truth, but let's look specifically at our text this morning, which says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And I want you to realize that while there are those who reject God's truth outright concerning Christ, that there are people who believe Christ, they believe His Word, generally speaking, but still they get involved in what the Bible calls here bearing false witness. Now, what are the patterns of truth rejectors that we can see in the Bible this morning? I want to give you four very quickly. First of all, a truth rejector resists scriptural truth. This is a person that resists what the Bible says. I have a friend who pastors a church in the Philippines, and there in Cebu City on the side of the church is a sign that says, "What the Bible says." And you can get into a taxi cab in Cebu City and you can tell the cab driver, "Take me to a church that tells me what the Bible says." And the taxi drivers always know where to go. They take you to Bible Baptist Church. It's the church that says what the Bible says. By the way, that's a good way for a church to be known. It's not what the denomination says. It's not what the commander says. It's not what some person thinks. We are here today to learn what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Now, here notice, if you would, Jesus standing before Pilate, John 18:37. "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now capture that. Jesus said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." On one occasion, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And when you are a child of God, you'll know His voice. But look what Pilate says to him. "Pilate answered and saith unto him, What is truth?" What is truth? You see, those who have been to maybe a few too many comparative religion classes, those who have found themselves wandering here and there spiritually, come to a place of agnosticism where they express what Pilate has expressed here. You know, there's probably some truth out there, but who can really know it? What is truth? I mean, you have Mohammedans, you have Buddhists, you have Baptists, you have Catholics, you've got all this stuff. But what is the truth? And because it is difficult at the first to look at it, many people kind of do what Pilate did, and they wash their hands of the whole thing, and they kind of resist really delving in and finding out for themselves the truth about Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I want you to listen to the last portion of today's message so that you might know what it really means to have a relationship with Him. But some people resist the truth, spiritually speaking. Then there are those, secondly, that reject personal truth. This is specifically to the text, verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." This is not so much rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that someone knows the truth about a matter or about a person, but they reject that truth because they want to do harm to that person, or they prefer to make themselves look better in a given situation. Proverbs 12:19 says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy." Now, there are those who imagine evil. There are those who have a heart that rejects the truth and seeks to persuade men in a different way. Sometimes we might wonder, why is it that some people will reject the truth? And why is it that some people stir things up in an untruthful way? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons people reject the truth. First of all, some people will do this to get revenge. They know that what they're saying is not true about someone. They know that that person is not intrinsically an evil person, but they want to discredit that person. They want to get revenge against that person. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Some people want revenge. Some people will reject the truth to make a profit. I mean, they know that that speedometer has gone over to 350,000 miles. But, you know, they can make a few more $1,000 if they say it's only spun over once, and they'll reject the truth for a profit. Some people will reject the truth to escape punishment. They want to escape punishment. How many of you growing up, your mother or father grabbed a belt or a board or the leg off of a chair or something nearby, and your hand was in the proverbial cookie jar and they were coming your way, and to avoid punishment, you sort of twisted the truth a little bit to make things look better. How many of you? All right, several of you are honest, several of you are not, but this is a message about truth, and there will be an altar call at the end. Some people resist the truth and reject the truth to get revenge. Some people to make a profit. Some to escape punishment. They deny that they were involved. They will not admit their culpability. They don't want to have anything to do with that accusation. Some people reject the truth to impress others. In other words, they, instead of just being outright truthful about their credentials, they want to make things seem a little better than they really are. I heard about two men who were out fishing. They were out in the middle of the lake. They came close to one another, and they're sitting there in their boats talking to one another. And they began to talk about where they had fished and what they had caught. And one man, he kind of really got into it. He said, "Well, I'll tell you," he said, "the biggest thing I ever caught." He said, "I was up in Alaska, and I started pulling on that line, and I pulled and pulled." He said, "I pulled all day, and I caught a 300-pound salmon." He said, "Why?" He said, "Trying to get that thing in the boat, it was almost impossible, but," he said, "I finally got it in." Man, he had a story and a half telling this fellow about his 300-pound salmon. Well, the guy he was talking to, he thought, "How do you beat that?" And he's sitting in his boat, and he said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing that did happen to me." He said, "One time I was pulling away, and I pulled something up out of the water," and he said it was a lantern. And he said the lantern on the bottom of it said, "Made in 1912, but," he said, "what was amazing about the lantern was that it was water sealed, it was watertight, and," he said, "the bulb was still glowing in the lantern." The first man for a long time didn't say a thing. Thought about it. He said, "Look," he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 200 pounds off my salmon if you'll take the light out of your lantern." You ever around somebody, I mean, they reject the personal truth about a matter, for whatever reason, they just can't get on the right page. USA Today had a poll recently which said that 90% of teenagers said if they could, they would cheat on their exams in school, and which said that 67% of all people tell casual little lies throughout the week and 37% serious lies throughout their week. Rejecting personal truth. I want you to notice a third category of people. There are those who resist biblical truth. There are those who reject the personal truth. And there are those who rearrange presented truth. Now that's what the Bible speaks of here in the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. They rearrange what they know to be true. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. In other words, when someone has something going on in their heart, it's like almost impossible to say anything good or nice about someone. They've just got to pour out evil things. And we see here that they rearrange the truth. They rewrite history. They are revisionists concerning the truth. Now, let me give you three ways that people do this, that they rearrange the truth and bear false witness. First of all, just speaking falsely about a matter. And it happens like this all the time. I've changed the names to protect the innocent, but it goes something like this. It goes like this. Sam is really angry at Heather because Heather wouldn't go bowling with him. And so Sam goes to work on Monday and he finds Joe and he says to Joe, "Hey, watch out for Heather, and whatever you do, don't trust Heather." All of a sudden, Joe is treating Heather differently. Heather doesn't really know why. She feels badly. And the worst part is that Sam never went to Heather to make resolution of the situation. He just went to Joe. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, whether that's at your workplace by the water cooler or whether that's in your neighborhood or even at a church, it never feels good to have someone playing those word games. You might say all day long, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." And that's a lie. And people every day have their hearts hurt because of those who insist on speaking falsely, whether on their internet or face to face. Then there are those that are just involved in malicious accusation. I mean, they just thrive on this. They just literally thrive on accusing and saying things, normally not to the face of a person, but just around and about. Then there are those that are involved in outright slander. Slander is when we intentionally tell a falsehood with an intention to harm someone's reputation. That's the whole idea. We're going to say something to harm someone's reputation. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Now, this was common in the Bible. I think about Joseph, a godly and an upright man, and Potiphar's wife in the land of Egypt grabbed him by the coat and tried to seduce him sexually. And Joseph ran away and left his coat in her hand. She turned around, took the coat, showed it to her husband and said, "Joseph tried to rape me." And we see in that situation an attempt to slander the life of Joseph.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to thank you for listening to Daily in the Word. You know, it's a great privilege to preach Bible-based messages on over 400 stations across America each and every day. One of my favorite parts of the day is when I receive mail or email from the listeners of Daily in the Word. It's very rewarding to teach and preach the Word of God and to know that someone's life is being blessed or even changed for eternity because of the broadcast. I'd like to ask you to take time today to visit dailyintheword.org. When you get to that website, you're going to see a variety of helps for your Christian life. Also, I'd like to encourage you to drop an email through dailyintheword.org. Let us know how the broadcasts are touching your life. If the Lord lays on your heart, we would greatly appreciate your gift to this ministry in order that we might be able to continue airing the broadcast across this nation. Your gift will go right towards the airtime cost of this ministry, And we'll look forward to continually preaching the Word of God as we journey together on Daily in the Word.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the Ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.